It's not such a good morning, so it's very difficult to say good morning. They announced a few minutes ago that Chavon Zevi died, and so and already they've begun the process. I mean, we're talking about I'm not a Rosh Hashanah. I just said that he died. They've begun to give biography of him going back to, he was born in 1926 in Yerushalayim. I heard from him a great deal about his youth. I happened to be with a number of rabbis a few months ago. We met with him. His office is here on King George. His office was on King George. The Ministry of Tayarut is in the old Knesset building.
That's right.
And he told us a lot of stories about his youth. Now I'm going to have to start trying to remember what it was that he said. But I think this is most probably a first that a Sar B'Memshelet Yisrael, for that matter, a member of Knesset, has been assassinated. And I'm sure that the security cabinet is going to meet, and they're going to decide to take very serious steps. All right. Anyway, so it may very well be the mood with which to start learning Tehillim. I think that there's been so much, really, there's been so much advertising for this class. If you look at the buses, and if you look at the bus stops, or wherever you go, one of the things that I said here, Hoshana Rabba Night, is that would David HaMelech be here to say something, he would most probably say that Tehillim has become the in thing. I'm very surprised, of course, with that this advertisement was also on the radio. But Kol Yisrael removed the ad for saying Tehillim because it's religious coercion. Religious coercion. As though, because when you hear an ad, you're obviously compelled, you must go by Osem this, so that's okay. But you may go say Tehillim. That's bad. That's not one of the things we have to be proud of. But David HaMelech, yes, Tehillim is good for the neshama. I did have a little bit of difficulty deciding where we're going to begin. There are 150 chapters in Tehillim. Where do we begin? So I resolved that, and we'll tell you that in a moment. I do want to suggest, even though I don't have a concrete suggestion, you should get a text. You gotta buy a text. You have to have a text of Tehillim that you'll go through it, and that week by week, page by page, it's going to become used. You'll take a look at that Tehillim at the end of the year, and you'll feel you learned Tehillim. We're going to find out in the first chapter that we're going to learn that life is heavy. And if anything, I wouldn't say that Tehillim is heavy. I think Tehillim may make life a little bit lighter to bear. That's going to be the topic for this first year. So I'm really not sure at this point. There is, of course, the art scroll with all of its perushim, and then there's the simple art scroll with the translation. Comes in all sorts of sizes. There's a Tehillim with Rashi. Oh, that's the smaller one. I'm really not sure yet what to suggest that you should purchase. If I come up with any more concrete suggestion, I'll let you know. The first unit I decided is going to be from chapter 90 through chapter 100. I'm looking at the. I mean, you thought I was going to begin at the beginning? I wasn't going to begin at the beginning. What is it that is special? Why did I choose from 90 to 100? I chose it. And then afterwards I went looking for the reasons why I chose it. And I came up with some very good ones. First of all, 90 to 100, there are 11 chapters. And the 11 chapters are all part of one davening or another. All 11. And we'll go through them briefly in a moment. The 11 chapters from 90 through 100 were written by no less a figure than Moshe Rabbeinu. The first one begins Tfilah LeMoshe, a prayer for Moshe, Ish Hurakim, the man of God. And Chazal tell us that David HaMelech found these, or they had been bequeathed to him, and here he had 11 chapters of Tehillim that were written by Moshe Rabbeinu, right, which makes them quite significant. They are also significant because in a sense we have just completed the reading of the Torah, and there are those who say that these 11 chapters of Tehillim were written by Moshe Rabbeinu on the last day of his life, one chapter for each one of the tribes. He blessed 11 of the tribes. There was one tribe that did not receive a blessing of its own in Parashat Zot HaBracha. Shimon is the only one who is not mentioned separately. For each one of those 11 tribes whom he blessed, he wrote a chapter of prayer, and that was incorporated into Sefer Tehillim by David HaMelech. Now, the number 90, Tfilah LeMoshe Ish Hurakim, we say it in davening Shabbos and Yom Tov in the morning. Number 100 is going to be Mizmor LeTodah, 5 psukim Mizmor LeTodah that is said every day after Baruch Shama, and is not said on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. I'll tell you the chapters. I'll just run through them quickly. Tfilah LeMoshe, as we said, the first one, as we said, is the one that we say every Shabbos in the morning. Me? Chapter 91 is Yoshei B'Seisad Eyon. Yoshei B'Seisad Eyon is also said Shabbos and Yom Tov in the morning. It's also said Motzoi Shabbos. It's also said by funerals. Number 92 is Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. The whole world is singing the song of Shabbos. All right. Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, which is of course said a number of times on Shabbos. It's said Friday night, it's said Shabbos in the morning. It is also Hayom. When we say Hayom Yom Shabbos Kodesh, we say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, and it's followed by number 93, which is Hashem Moloch Geurt Lavesh Hashem Ozit Hagor. Number 94 is Keil Nekamot Hashem, Keil Nekamot Alfiyah. Don't get yourself nervous about knowing all of this, because we're going to go through them all. That is Yom Revi'i Vashabbat. This morning we said Hayom, today is the fourth day of the week, and we said Keil Nekamot Hashem, Keil Nekamot Alfiyah. And it's an amazing chapter. Now don't get upset with me if I'm going to be using the word amazing, profound, incredible, moving, because each one of those words will describe psukim and phrases in Sefer Tehillim. Can't just say Tehillim. You have to understand Tehillim. What did I say? It's absolutely incredible when you understand what the words are. I thank you for coming to listen to me. So it gives me even more more impetus to go ahead and study it in depth. Tremendous things. I didn't use the word tremendous yet. Number 95 is L'chun Eranano. L'chun Eranano is how we begin the Friday night Kabbalah Shabbos. And then 35, 36, what am I saying? 95. You know, I can make this today, this morning I can make a few mistakes. It's a little bit of an upsetting morning. 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. All of those are the Kabbalat Shabbat, the prayers that we say at the onset of Shabbos. And then, of course, we come to number 100. We have the Mizmor Lesoda that's said every day, which is not said on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and we'll discuss that when we get there. So I think, all in all, first of all, to choose a unit of 11 chapters that all of them are said in davening was a pretty good choice. And more than that, of course, it is related to the end of Torah. So without further ado, there will be a lot of other introductions and explanations and elaborations that we will have to say. But I like to limit the introductions to begin and get into the text. And you have it, Tfilah L'Moshe, Ish HaElokim. Yes?
Okay, before we start.
Yes?
First, two questions. First of all, who divided the Tehillim?
That's for the next introduction. Okay. Go ahead.
But the second question is important to me.
Yes. All questions that a person asks are important to them.
And
therefore they're important to me as a teacher. How did you like that? Wasn't that noble?
Good. I'm always embarrassed to ask.
Yes.
You go to a funeral.
Yes.
And people always, they start to say feelings.
Yes.
And people always know what to say. Which page? Only I know.
By the time I'm finished with you.
What?
By the time I'm finished with you, you'll know what they're saying there.
Really? Because they come out with...
Yeah, all right. We'll take care of that. Just hang in over here. This year may change your life dramatically. Tfilah L'Moshe Ish HaElokim. Do you know that in all of Torah, Moshe is described as Ish HaElokim, the man of God, only once? Only once. And here that precisely that same description of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish HaElokim. Where is the one place in Torah that Moshe is described as Ish HaElokim? Vezot habracha asher beirach Moshe Ish HaElokim et bnei Yisrael lifnei moto. The first pasuk in the last sedra in Torah. This is the blessing that Moshe, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Why is he not referred to as Ish HaElokim any place else in Torah? And by the way, it's because he is referred to there as Ish HaElokim, this becomes the indication that these chapters were written, composed by Moshe Rabbeinu on that last day before his death. I want you to know there's good reason why Torah did not describe Moshe as Ish HaElokim until that pasuk in Zot HaBracha. And here I'm just going to give you a few brush strokes of what Reb Meir Simcha in the Meshech Chachma turns into a major thesis that he comes back to time and time again in Torah. And I don't want to say much more than there can be a great contemporary relevance to this as well, which I will not spell out. The Meshech Chachma, we will show it to you, that's the second sheet that you received, are two selections from the Meshech Chachma. You know, I'll take you on to one of them. If you can see which side I'm looking at, that begins with a little chuk chick at the top. V'lo natan Hashem lachem leiv ladat. This is a pasuk in Parashat Ki Tavo where Moshe Rabbeinu says God did not give you the heart, the mind to understand and to know ad hayom hazeh, until today. What is it that they did not understand until today? Meshech Chochma says the following, you will see clearly spelled out over here what is his major theme in Torah. Ha'inyam. What this means is ki biyarti b'kama mekorot, I have explained in many places, the mistake that was made by the children of Israel in many places was ki choshvu l'moshe l'po'el me'atzmo. There were moments at which they made the mistake of thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu was a power in and of himself, and that he was able to accomplish something or some things on his own. Ulekorach Heloki Hashofeabo Hivdiluhu Min Hayotzer. And in a sense, there's very little. There's a certain divine power that he has that separates him from the Creator himself, but he's capable of doing all sorts of things on his own. And the truth is, not so. Moshe Rabbeinu was an instrument of God. Not to diminish one bit from the greatness of Moshe, but Moshe did nothing on his own. He had no magical powers. The mistakes that they made a number of times in the desert was that they attributed to him something akin to divinity. And that was a terrible, terrible tragedy. Watch, he says. He was God's mouth. To talk with God about that which applies to the children of Israel. They alone, when did they finally see when did they finally realize that Moshe Rabbeinu does not act on his own and there's no flow of great miraculous strength that emerges from him? You know when they finally realize that? B'yom Shemeit Moshe, the day of his death. Oz hevinu, then they understood ki mechomer kuratz, he was hewn from human material just like everybody else, kemohem, just like them. V'gam hu ben temuta, and he also is a mortal. That's extremely important. Extremely, extremely important. Moshe Rabbeinu was a mortal. And as a mortal, he went the way of all flesh. He was born, he lived, and he died. V'rak ritzon ha'vodei ha'kayam b'shlemuto v'lo shinui. Who are Omer Gozer Tahavishadeh? The only power that Moshe had was because he fulfilled the words of God with absolute precision. It was with the strength of God that he did whatever it was that he did. Therefore, Meshech Chochma says, that's why it says, you never understood until today. When does Moshe Rabbeinu say this? Moshe Rabbeinu says it on the day of his death. You never truly understood. You made mistakes, and the mistakes were made because you thought that I had some kind of divinity within me. I'm no different than you. I'm a mortal. I'm a man of flesh and blood. And therefore that day, God did not give you the heart to know ad hayom hazeh, until this day. Yom Shemeit, the day on which he died, Nasho Holech Bitzror Akayim, and his soul goes off to be bound up in everlasting with the living. Os Teidu V'Tavinu, then you will know and understand Ki Hashem Hamanhig, God is the leader, Umashgiach B'Pratiyut, and his divine providence is over Israel, B'Zman U'B'Ish B'Chol Mif'al U'Mitzav, at all times, all men, whatever they do and wherever they march, it is God's will. Moshe, Moshe was the agent. Moshe was the agent of God. Obviously, God chooses as an agent somebody who is different than all other men. By the way, there were reasons why they made the mistake. Three times Moshe Rabbeinu was up at the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and he says, "Lechem lo achalti, I ate no bread and I drank no wine." Mere mortals are not capable of doing that. There must have been something about Moshe Rabbeinu that made him separate and distinct from all human beings. But in the end, in the final analysis, he was mortal. And more than anything else, he wanted the children of Israel to know that he is mortal. That may also be one of the reasons why he's not buried in Eretz Yisrael, or we don't know his burial place. There may have been Jews who would have turned him into Baba Moshe, and God didn't want that, and Moshe didn't want that. They would have turned him into some form of a divinity, and he was not the only one who was frightened of that. Yaakov Avinu did not want to be buried in Mitzrayim because he was afraid that Egypt would turn him into some sort of a divinity, because they knew that when he came, the great famine ended. All of a sudden, Egypt changes dramatically. He was afraid. No, 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 get me out of here. Don't bury me here. Don't bury me here. No mortal is more than a mortal. And the most mortal day in one's life is the day that he passes from the sea. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, today is the day. Now you're going to know. Now you're going to know that I'm a mortal. Now you're going to know. Yes? God didn't give you, in other words, now that he's going to take me from the world, now you're going to know with absolute certainty that I'm a human being just like you. I'm a human being just like you. Turn over to the other side and we'll see. Let's take another look on the other side. And that's here in this first v'nishmartem ma'od l'nafshoteichem. You should watch your souls, pen tashchitin, lest you make terrible mistakes. In the middle of all this, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "V'Hashem itanev bi, God got angry with me about you." So he says the following: "Hatachat haktuvim nireh." We will see that the flow of the Psukim says the following: Ki echad min hasibot asher biglalam hayav b'ritzon hagozer shiyamut Moshe b'midbar. One of the reasons why it was the will of God that Moshe should die in the desert, hayav b'shvil ki zeh Moshe ha'ish. When did Israel use the term ki zeh Moshe ha'ish? When he goes up to the mountain and he doesn't come down. So they say, this Moshe, this man, we don't know what has happened to him. That's when they made the golden calf. Because they wanted something with divine powers that would take the place of Moshe. According to the Meshach Chachma, the terrible mistake that they made that brought them to making a golden calf was because they saw Moshe as divine and they needed something in place of that divinity. This man Moshe, we don't know what happened there. So he says, what was their problem? Because this man Moshe, he brought water out of a rock. Pidesh koli meina yotowin vidvar meisha. He separated from his wife all the 40 years that he was in the desert. Lechem lo achal, umayim lo shata. He didn't drink, eat bread, he didn't drink water. Natam lahem lechem in Hashemayim. He gave them bread from heaven. Harag malchei Amori. He killed the kings of the Amori. Baka Yamsu. He split the Yamsu. Asher lozot, kol yimei chayei b'nei gilo, asher zachru minoah. So he says, all of those who were in his age bracket and remembered him from the youth, the dimu l'machshavtam, kim hem hayu b'sugo u'b'ma'alato. Now, when could there have been somebody who would rebel against Moshe? In the early year in the desert, the rebellion of Korah. Because, you know, they sort of, they know Moshe. And when you know somebody, when you're too familiar with somebody, you think, no, Moshe, I know him, we played marbles together in the Tzchaim. You know, so what? So that's why the entire community are holy. Why do you raise yourself above them? In the early years, they sought to find fault in him. Then the Torah was not concerned about what they would think of Moshe. But we're talking now. After the death of that entire generation, the ones who complained and the ones who found fault, Tomu Benichrisu, who was over, Oz Anshe Dor Kadash, then the people of a new generation, Asher Minoah from their youth, they only remember the miracles that he wrought. Asher Minoah Yizkor, from youth they remember that Mithalot Moshe Abilti Tivim. They only remember that which Moshe did, which was supernatural. Asher Komar Kotateva Nikru Mishvilo. All of the legions of nature were torn before him. And if that, especially since they were young, Lo nechkad b'libam liyachin zeh al Hashem asher Moshe korek b'shmon daber al Talmud. They saw it to be Moshe and not God, and therefore here he says that God was afraid that if they will come into Eretz Yisrael and Moshe can enter Eretz Yisrael with him, with them, they may attribute to him divinity. So when is he called Ish Elokim? Only on the day of his death. Because on the day of his death, no mistake can be made. Yes?
What proof do you give that Moshe died? When Aaron died, both Moshe and Eliezer were with him, and Rashi says that the beam of Aaron was shown to the people that he really died. With Moshe, nobody went up when he died. Nobody knows where he was buried.
Now I know why the Meshech Chachma made it a major theme of his in his parish. Because there are still holdouts who may think that Moshe didn't die, and he's walking in our midst over here. So I'll tell you the answer, and listen very carefully to me. You're not the only one who had the problem. And this goes back, I don't want to say how many years. Learning the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. Torah is over, and it, you know what the first pasuk in the book of Yehoshua is? Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua, God said to Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meit, my servant Moshe is dead. Va'afa now, kum avor v'chayarden, get up and cross the Jordan. Grade 9 student asked a brilliant question. What? The Ribbono Shel Olam has to tell Yehoshua that Moshe died? This is at the end of the 30 days. What is the Ribbono Shel Olam is Kol Yisrael, has to announce it? Is it an obituary in the New York Times? Yehoshua didn't know that Moshe died? Why doesn't Yehoshua say, listen, Moshe, I know all about it. What are you talking about? What do you think we're in Avelis over here for the last 30 days for? Because Moshe died. You understand? This is, it seems to be the brilliant statement, the opening statement that God says to Yehoshua, Moshe Avdi Meit, my servant Moshe is dead. So now, I could have told this grade 9 student, it's a klutz kasha, don't ask me silly questions. Which, of course, I might have been tempted to do if I didn't have an answer. I might even have yelled at him. Huh? But since I had an answer, I said, Habibi, you asked a brilliant, brilliant question. You know why it was a brilliant question? And this is going to be the answer to your question as well. The personality of Yehoshua was one with Moshe. For 40 years in the desert, there was one person who lived outside the camp. In the Beis Medrash, in the tent of Moshe, always waiting for Moshe. When he came down from the mountain, there was Yahushua. Yahushua's entire essence became his great Rebbe Moshe. Chazal say, Pnei Moshe, our rabbis say, Pnei Moshe, the face of Moshe was the face of the sun. Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama, and Pnei Yahushua, the face of Yahushua was Pnei Yodea, the face of the moon. Where does the moon get its brilliance from? Only from the sun. What are the rabbis telling us? Whatever Yahushua is Moshe. What happens to Yahushua after the death of Moshe? Do you know what happens to Yahushua after the death of Moshe? He is having a tremendous amount of difficulty coming face to face with the reality. No, it didn't happen. By the way, that's stage one or two in the process of mourning. It's a nightmare. I'll wake up right away. Huh? Stage one. Didn't happen. It can't be. Moshe, what are you talking about? Without Moshe, I'm nothing. It can't be. And Yahushua, who's 40-year relationship with the most unusual man who ever lived, this became his entire personality. Without Moshe, he's nothing. First stage, therefore, must be to come face to face with reality. There's one thing that Moshe Rabbeinu in 40 years told Yahushua. Absolute, objective, ultimate truth is the Word of God. God's opening statement to Yahushua is, Moshe Avdi Mes. My servant Moshe is dead. Do you know what that means to Yahushua? That's the final word. He can no longer live with the illusion that maybe Moshe is going to return. Because the Word of God, this is absolute truth. And therefore the next statement is, Va'apa now, kum, rise, and cross the Jordan. The moment that you're able to put behind you the tragedy of the loss of Moshe, then you can start rejoining life. You're going to be able to lead your people across the Jordan. Moshe, do you know how I know that Moshe died? Because it says at the end of Torah, Vayomot Moshe. And because at the beginning of Yahushua it says, Moshe I'll be made. So therefore you can ask all the questions you want, but before one word in Torah, Vayomot, all questions disappear. Ultimate, absolute truth has made it final. Thanks for asking the question. Otherwise I would have yelled at you, you know. I would have yelled at you. Nah, not really, you know. So here it is now. Do you know what this first chapter is going to be? First part of this chapter is going to be extremely depressing. It's going to be very depressing. It's going to tell you we're going to have to come face to face with certain realities. So let's go. Tefillah to Moshe, a prayer that was said by Moshe, Ishva Elokim. And as we said, this is the only other place in Tanakh where he is referred to as Ishva Elokim. The only other place is at the beginning, first Pasuk in Zot HaBracha, and that's on the day of his death. He cannot be called that until that day. Hashem, God, Ma'on Ata Hayita Lanu B'dor Ador. You were a Ma'on for us. Now, the word Ma'on really means a dwelling place, a dwelling place that's secure. Now the word Ma'on, of course, has taken on all sorts of other meanings. You know, you send little children to a Ma'on, understand? If you have to fill out some a form from the Mitzvah HaPnim or some other, they ask you for your name, Mishpacha, Shem Prati, and then they want to know Ma'an, Mem Ayin Nun, that's your address, your Ma'on, the place where you live. But the word Ma'on, I mean, we have a lot of places, a lot of words to describe a place. or a building. But the word ma'on has in it also the idea of something that's safe and secure. That's why, by the way, that's why it's a very good word to use for a place to leave little children. There's something very, very safe and secure about it. Ma'on ata ayita lanu. You have been a ma'on for us, b'dor b'dor, in all generations. Now, there are many phrases in this chapter, as we will see in many other chapters, that are written in what seems to be past tense, but there are times when past tense really means something that's ongoing. Ata hayita lanu, you were a ma'on to us, does not mean, you were, but now you're not. You were, you are, and you continue to be. There's what's called the extended past, where the past extends into the future. And you've been around B'tedem Horim Yuladu before the mountains were born. The term birth has a lot of meanings. Now, having been brought into being, B'tedem Horim Yuladu, before the very mountains were born, were brought into being. The word betedem applies to this phrase as well. Techolel means the beginning of something. It's birth. It's also a word that means birth, because in Tanakh we have the word chil kayoleda, the pains, or the labor. Yeah, but what? Contractions. So techolel is also used to mean something that comes into being. You were here before Eretz v'Tevel were brought into being. Eretz is usually the term that describes the whole world. Tevel is a word that describes the inhabited parts of the earth. Umeolam ad olam. So the first part of the pasuk is talking about the past, but then the next part of the pasuk is talking about the future. And from here on to eternity, you are God. What he's doing now is he's going to compare mere, weak, mortal before mighty, almighty God. And Toshev Enosh Abdaka. Most of the Poshim say Toshev means you bring Enosh back. Enosh, another term for man. Some of the Poshim say that Enosh represents man who sins, and because of his sins you bring him back. Abdaka. Daka means you crush him, you break him. He's going to start talking about the suffering and the pain of life. Life has a lot of suffering, the kind that man feels as though he's being crushed. Vatoma, and then you said, Shuvu b'nei Adam, do tshuva before me. The Gemara says from here, we've been talking about a period before history came into being, because the Gemara says that God had created tshuva, repentance, even before the world was created. Because a world could never be created, mortal man could never be created without having the possibility of doing tshuva. Because we're weak, we are mortal, we do make mistakes, and we have to have the ability to return to God. And now he's also going to describe the light years that separate God from man. We're so different. Ki erev shonim ve'einecha kiyom etmol, 1,000 years is like yesterday to you. It's all one day. In other words, God is not bound by time. Like yesterday, kiyavo that passes. The ashmura balayla. And the fact is, an ashmura awake during the night is 3 hours or 4 hours. 1,000 years to you can be a day, can be 4 hours. It doesn't make any difference. But what happens with us? Zerantam. Zerantam comes from the word zerem. A zerem is a flow. Zerantam sheno yihyu. Our lives, the flow of our lives, is like sleeping. Don't be saying Yiddish, and it must come from these psukim. And you're going to see, you're going to see it right away. The Gamsa Leben is a chulim. All of life, well, it's like a dream. All of a sudden, you turn around and you say to yourself, "Where did the years go? Zeramtam, they flow. Sheina Yehu, it's like sleeping." And now he's even going to say that life is even quicker than that. It's so swift. It's like grass. It's here in the morning, and then it passes. It's gone. In the morning, it blossoms. The cholop, and it passes. By evening, yemolel, it's brittle, the yavation, it's dry, it's over, gegangen. There went the Laban. And what happened with it? What happened with our lives? And here we are, mere mortals, weak mortals, and we are standing there opposite of God who is eternal. And not only are the years brief, and not only do they flow swiftly, and before we know it, we have to come face to face with our mortality. Just remember who's saying it and when he's saying it. Don't lose sight of that. This is Tefillah Moshe, Yishuv and Kim on the last day of his life. 120 years old. And the life was a chulam. It went. And was it easy? Ki cholinu ba'apecha. We were consumed by pechel, with your anger, with your fury, with your wrath. We trembled. We suffered. And when we see everything as the will of God, so it means that the suffering is Ritzon Hashem, and it was apo b'chamosel. There's a difference between ap and chema. The fact is that there are really three words that mean anger. Ap, vayichar ap Hashem to Moshe. God got angry with Moshe. Rachel comes to Yaakov and she says, "Give me children, otherwise I'm dead." Vayichar ap Yaakov to Rachel. Yaakov got angry with Rachel. Chema, and by the way, chema comes from the word, what word? Cham. Somebody gets angry, you get hot. But you get hot under the cowl. And I'll explain to you exactly what that means. When Ahasuerus is told that Esther refuses to come before him, Vashti, what did I say? You're listening. I like that. Okay. And then he has her put to death, and afterwards it says, V'chamat ha-melech shachacha, the anger or the wrath of the king subsided. The difference between af is that af and chema, af is always something that is expressed. It comes out. Vayichar af Yaakov. Yaakov gets angry with Rachel and he says to her, "Am I in the place of God who withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" Vayicha, God gets angry with Moshe and he says, alright, you just got in Mitzrayim, this is at the snare. Every time where it says Vayicha Ap, anger, it's always expressed, it's expressed verbally, something is done. Chema is an inner seething and burning that does not come out into the open. And that's why when I said chema, hot under the collar, that was a little, pretty much the meaning of chema. There's a third word, and that word is evra. Evra. And if you remember, isn't it in the Haggadah?
Evra achad.
Chema achad, evra achad, eshtayim. Evra, the Malbim says, means that there are times when anger goes beyond the borders, when it overflows in a sense, so that even the innocent are hurt. There is an outpouring of evra that goes out. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu says over here, "Kicholinu v'hapecha." We were destroyed by your anger. Ubechamoscha. Now you see, the af is that which is expressed outward when God brings suffering. So that's destructive. Ubechamoscha, your inner anger, nivhalu, that caused us to tremble, or nivhalu can also mean, the English translation is not bad, confounded or confused. We say it in Oz Yashir when they heard about what happened at the Yam Suf. Nivhalu elufei Edom. The officers of Edom were confounded and confused. What did you do? God, you know what you did? Shata avonoteinu lenegdecha. You placed our sins before you. What? Is it? In most shuls, or in many shuls, on the Aron Kodesh or on the Bima, alumeinu lima'or panecha. Alumeinu, there are two pshatim. Alumeinu can come from the word elem. An elem is a lad, a boy. An alma is a young girl. Alumeinu means the sins of our youth. Lima'or panecha are lit up by your face. In other words, you highlight the sins of our youth. Alumeinu can also come from the word ne'elam, something that's concealed. A sin that we did in concealment, you illuminated for all to see. So what does it mean? What does he set up until now? He said that life is brief, life is short, it passes so quickly, and there you have our sins before you. So you know what happens? Kichol Yomeinu Tonu Be'evratecha. All of our days pass Be'evratecha, in the presence of your Evra. That's why I told you the meaning of the word Evra. No, we suffer because of it. Kol Yomeinu Kilinu Shomeinu Kimo Hege. Our years end Kimo Hege. He has described life as a night's sleep or a dream. He has referred to life as a few hours during the night. He has referred to life, or described life, as the grass that grows in the morning and withering in the evening. And now he says, our years are kmo hege. Hege is a word, a breath. And it all ends. And what are they? Yimei shenotenu behem shivim shana. The days of our lives can be 70 years in bivurot and with great strength. It's shvodim shana. It's 80 years. The ra'avam. It's going to get a lot better. Right now, this is so depressing. Alright? If you're depressed, your reality testing is excellent. You're doing very good. But Moshe is not going to leave us there. The Rabam means all of our pride and conceit, or the great things that we try to do, it's nothing more than Omel va'Oven. Omel's toil, and Oven is sin. So much of which we do is no more than Omol v'Oven. Now these words we're going to come back to a number of times, because these words are repeated very often in Tanakh. Yes. Bilam lo hibit oven b'Yakov v'lo ra Omol b'Yisrael. He says about God that God does not see Oven or Omol by Klal Yisrael. Omol usually means toil. If you've ever been at a bar mitzvah and the bar mitzvah boy has completed a mesecta, as they do these days, so he's going to read a whole bunch of things afterwards, you know, Chanina bar Papa and Romy bar Papa and this bar Papa. I'm not going to explain what that is, but there's a prayer that he says the difference between himself and others out there. Heim ha-melim, they toil, va-machnu ha-melim, and we toil. Heim ha-melim, Those out there, they toil, they not mekablim schar, and they don't receive reward. Vanachnu amelim, and we toil, and we do receive reward. The first Rashi in the Chukosai, shetiyu amelim, your toil should be in Torah. That means omal can be good omal, and it can be bad omal. Here he's talking about the bad omal. Toil for nothing, so the leiden gegangen, so what did you do? Kigaz chish vanaufa. Gaz can mean it flows chish very quickly vanaufa, and we fly away. Gaz chish vanaufa. Chish. Well, those of us who learned Yeshayahu, you'll remember the word chish a number of places over there. One of the children of Isaiah was maher shalom chosh. Buzz. The spoil is going to come quickly. But one of the major themes of Yeshayahu is Ani Hashem, I God Beita, in her time, Achi Shena, I will hasten the coming of the redemption. Chishmas quickly. Quickly it goes, the Noibon fly away. Miodeya Oz Apecha. Miodeya Oz Apecha. Who knows the power of your fury? What I believe this pasuk means, and I, some of the poshah I believe that say the same thing. When we want to understand it, we can't understand it. If we're going to try and ask ourselves the question, why does God permit such and such? Forget it. Me or there. Don't even try to figure it out. Don't try to figure it out. Me on there, who knows? Who can say that they know owns the might of apecha, of your anger? Because of your evra, the word now appears for a second time. We fear you because of your evra. There's an outpouring of anger. Pretty bad so far. But now Moshe Rabbeinu says, no. He begins to pray now, and he begins to give advice. Limnot yameinu kein hoda. Limnot yameinu kein hoda. Teach us, hoda, let us know, to count our days. We should know the value of every moment of passing time. You know, what he's saying is, in a cholam, if you're in a dream, you don't come face to face with the reality, that there's a reality of, you know, life is going to end at some point. But if you do come face to face with the reality, there's an amazing... Let me take... I don't believe it. Usually when I have to find something, when I've lost something, it's usually right under my nose, and for hours I'll run around the house looking for it. It doesn't happen to anybody else, it just happens to me. Where are the car keys? Where are the house keys? Where are my sunglasses? Understand, right? Where's my tape recorder? Right? That's how we spend most of our days. Right? But here, it better be here, an amazing sentence, an amazing sentence that's written by Rav Kook in his sefer, a little sefer called Orot HaTshuva, the Light. You went looking for it in every bookstore, didn't you? But went to Steinetsky's for Orot HaTshuva. But Steinetsky's will give you some, who knows, I'll bet you, I'm sure, I'm a soul.
Nobody has.
Oh, Neir Sharon, the last place in the world. Okay, anyway, we'll take care of you. Let me read what he writes. An amazing sentence. Kol ma shehatshuva mitameket yoter. The deeper one's repentance becomes, Holechet yirat hamavet umitmaetet. The fear of death recedes and becomes smaller. Achipul seket legamri, until it ends completely. There's no fear of death. A person who does tshuva the way he should, it's all up. There's no fear. Umekoma lokea hamatzav. Oh, this is so beautiful. What takes the place of the fear of death? Batischak liyom acharon. The end of Eish Hashem. Batischak liyom acharon. One can laugh to the last day. Hametziyut haruchanit shebahavayato haamitit shel haadam. The real spiritual essence of man is the spiritual essence of the whole world. And therefore, as one comes closer to a relationship with God, fear just recedes. It goes. It's gone. Ended. Amazing. Only a Rav Kook could have made a statement like that. Yes?
Only if Shubhanik
doesn't fear death. No. You have to understand, when we talk about tshuva, every one of us is supposed to do tshuva. There was never a special class by the Jewish people about tshuva. I think it may take me a lot more time to think of some avera that I did, but I mean I'm not going to bear my heart for you, but I think that every one of us has done something which we have to do tshuva. That's why I'm having Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur isn't only for BTs, it's for FFBs as well. What he means, what Rav Kook is saying, is the closer one comes to a relationship with God, the fear of death recedes. Now, I got to finish this. I cannot leave you depressed. You won't come back.
Limnot yameinu kein hoda. Let us know how to count our days. I would read it in another way. Let us know how to make our days count.
How do you like that?
How to make it count. The Navi, and you know what we will be able to bring into our lives? Levav Chochma. A heart with wisdom. A heart that's full of wisdom knows how to make use of life. And when one knows how to make use of life, which is, I think, takes us a lifetime till we learn how to do it, but better late than never. When we bring this heart of wisdom, then we are able to make time, in a sense, freeze. Give you an example. It says about a number of people tonight, it says it about Avram, and it says it about Saul, I believe it says it about David, that Avram was Zakein, Avram was old, Bar Bayamim. He had come in days. Now, what does it mean he had come in days? You know, we read it in the English translation, and what does it mean he had come in days? I believe it was Zev and Zechariah who wrote the following. Avram Avinu was able to come into his mature adulthood with all of his days in his hand. They were there. He had taken time. You know how you take a moment in time and freeze it? Kodak, of course, will tell you, take a picture. Torah is going to tell you, do a mitzvah. You do a mitzvah, that moment in time becomes eternal. Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu came into their adulthood by Yomim with all of their days in hand. They were able to make a cheshbon, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, next mitzvah. Days became meaningful. Time became significant. So that's what he's saying. Linot Yomim Kein Hoda. Let us know how to count our days so that we can make them count and bring a heart of wisdom. Shuva Hashem. He's not telling God to do tshuva. What he's saying, Shuva, turn back, God, from your anger. Ad Matzai, how long do we have to suffer? Ad Matzai, v'hinochem al avodecha. Change your mind about your servant. Moshe is now praying for his people. He's praying at the end of his life, he's praying for the people whom he loved, to whom he devoted his whole life. Leave them alone. Ad Masai, how long will they suffer? V'hinochem ala whatever. The word hinochem always means to change your mind about something. We had it at the end of Bereshis, and we have it in Noah, that God saw how the world was progressing, and v'hinochem Hashem, God regretted that he had made man. And then who was born? Noah was born. Zeyinachamenu, he is the one who's going to be our consolation. Sab'enu v'aboker chazdecho u'nezamino v'nismicho v'chol yomenu. Sab'enu v'aboker chazdecho. Earlier on in the chapter he had talked about in the morning the grass grows and at night it withers. Sate us in the morning with your kindness. Pour out your chesed, rebation, ad masai, how long do we have to suffer? We are your children, and sab'enu v'aboker chazdecho. And then, uniramino, we will sing, v'nismicho v'chol yomenu, and we will be happy with all of our days. You can make our lives happy. What did we say in Pasuk 9? In Pasuk 9 we said, Kichol Yameinu, all of our days have been turned because of your wrath, your fury. Kilim and Shoneinu, our years. We talked about Yomim and Shonim gone like a flash. Sabeinu Baboke Chazdecha. Unedamino, let us sing the Nisnapabu Kol Yameinu, and we will be happy with all of our days. Samcheinu Kiyemot Initanu. Make us happy to make up for the days that we suffered. Shnot ro'inu ro. Make us happy so that we make up for the years that we saw all of that evil. We've seen enough evil, enough suffering. Rabbeinu Shalom, bring joy to your people. Yeiroa el avodecho pa'olecho. Let your servants see pa'olecho, all that you've done. We should be able to see clearly what God has done for us. V'hadorcho al b'neihem. V'hadorcho al b'neihem. You know what he's asking for now? He's praying not only for his people, he's praying for the servants of God. He is beginning to talk to them about not only that their days should be full of joy and full of song, and that they should see and be sated with God's kindness. Let your servants see what you have done, and because we will see clearly what you have done, we'll make sure that our deeds are going to be good. And then v'hadorcho, that beauty that you have invested in us is going to go on al b'neihem, upon their children. He's talking about the immortality that comes by children who are going to carry on that which the parents began. And then he ends with the great prayer, and this clearly our rabbis tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu said this pasuk on the day that the Mishkan was erected and established, and he said, "Vihi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu." Let the pleasantness of God, our God, be upon us. Umata Yodeinu Komino Aleinu. What he's asking for is invest everything that we do with immortality. That which we've done with our own hands, konino aleinu. Konino means establish it. Establish it. Make it last. One of the terrible things is a person can, put in a lifetime building up a business, an institution, something, and then before it all simply crumbles before his very eyes. We want to see your pleasantness. Master Yadenu Konino. Konino means lechonen, to establish something into eternity. Have you ever seen after the name Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, very often there's a Tav and a Vav. Tiboneh V'tikonein. Let it be built and let it be established. Konana, Masa Yodenu, Konana Aleinu. Let our life's work, whatever it is we've done, let it be established. Umasa Yodenu, Konanehu. That which we have done, Ubeishim, you give it eternity. So what's happened over here in this chapter is the following. What Moshe Rabbeinu did is, he has taken, number one, he has shown the awesomeness of God, eternal, mighty, always here, before the world came into being, beyond time, and then this mere mortal man whose life is like a dream. It passes quickly, like the grass that grows in the morning and withers at night. It's like a dream. It's like something that just flies away. It's no more than the breath of our. And during that brief lifetime, we suffer too. But Ben Yishon, he prays for his children. Klal Yisrael, Moshe prays, give eternity to us. Make our days full of joy. Sate us with your kindness. Pour out to us all of your goodness. And if we have suffered, make up for it. Ki yamoti in eternal, like the years that we suffered, give us years that we should sit back and we should be able to see, yes, the destruction of our enemies, the ingathering of our people. So Zayin Shalom v'shalva over here in Eretz Yisrael. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is so beautiful, that on the last day of his life, what he is really telling, and this takes us back to the beginning of this year, what he's really saying to the Jewish people is, I'm immortal. I know what mortality is all about. I know how brief life is in that whole cosmic system. But you can make a life meaningful. You can make it live beyond the amount of time that has been set for us. But don't make the mistake of thinking that I'm a deity. Don't make the mistake of thinking that I had the power to act on my own. And I believe there's something else that's beautiful over here. He began the chapter by saying, Ma'on atahayitalanu, you are the Ma'on for us. That comfortable dwelling place in which we feel a sense of security. And at the end of the chapter he says, V'yihi Noam Hashem. Noam. The letters of Noam are the letters of Ma'on. The Ma'on should be a place of Noam. That place in which you have us, let it be Noam. Let it be pleasant. Drocheha, the ways of Torah, Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Drocheha, her ways are Darchei Noam, ways of pleasantness. Hine matov umanoim shevet achim gam yachad. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together. Your homework, should you decide to do it, is over the next week, just read the 11 chapters. Just read it like you'd be saying Tillim. Read it. Familiarize yourself with the words. Just read it. I don't think it should take you more than... don't study it. Don't study it. Leave that to me. Leave that to me. Go through the 11 chapters. That's our first unit. Katie, yes.
For the lady that mentioned life is repentance, at Promogram I got a wonderful book called The Art of Repentance by one of Rabbi Friedman. I think it's a fairly new book. And what he does is take paragraphs from the life of repentance and he paraphrases it in